been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Play Music and Satchel. You know, we might have to rename Ravens Nations to Ravens World because we're international, right? But we're going to talk about that later. Joining me as always, Josh, what's going on, man?
Oh man, I'm great, man. This is kind of like got bad news and good news all in the same day, but I can't wait to our Joey guest appearance later.
That's right. We obviously are going to save the good news till the end. Let's get through what we got to talk about. Let's talk about that Ravens-Patriots game.
Danny first.
Man, that sucked. I don't know any other way to put it. The Ravens, I think they never left Baltimore. They didn't go up to Foxborough. That was not a Ravens team I like to see. Nothing. I want to say the Ravens didn't even lose that game. The Patriots won it. The Patriots lost it. The Patriots played. The Ravens did not play whatsoever. This was a Ravens team that looked lethargic, looked worried, looked scared, looked stressed. The Patriots dictated everything about this game. The Ravens were pretty much just there to fill up time. That's what it felt like to me.
It did, man. You got it right there. They didn't look like they were in the game. I've read tweets. I've heard radio jargon today. I've heard it all. I've heard everybody says that the Ravens didn't get off the plane. The Ravens stayed home. They look like sleeping zombies out there. I've even heard everything to, hey, if there is, I've heard somebody call them out that they look like walking zombies that Negan hit the slap in the head, but that's another story. I mean, I've seen it all. How inconsistent can we be going from what we talked about last week in our show, how upbeat it was, man, there's really nothing to talk about. We did everything great to, what was that? It was the good, the bad, the ugly. It was, all right, we did some things good. All right, well, you weren't supposed to do that. And then you're like, what are you doing? And then, okay, we're back in the game. And I was calling people out. You know, it's you know, people are calling me out when I was tweeting frustration about like, oh, well, this game's over, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, let's bring it back here. If it wasn't for two fluke turnovers, which shouldn't have happened, it wasn't like Tom Brady deliberately threw a pick. They were two fluke plays. The ball hits the guy's foot, and we recovered it, and then they fumbled it. And I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for two fluke plays, this game would have been over before the fourth quarter started. Let's just get real, or even well before that. But and I did that because I did that out of frustration. We're all frustrated because at this point they weren't moving the ball. They got away from the run. They had no urgency. I mean, nothing was working. So yeah, and I was calling people out. Obviously, I watched it till the end. I watched it till the final zeros because you never know, and almost happened. But I'd seen people posting on social media, well, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, good, I can't wait to blow up your feed when we win this game tomorrow. And I'm like, you know, take off your Ravens garb and give it to somebody who wants it. Because you can't – I can understand if we're losing 50-0 or we're the Browns and we know we're going to lose, but we're never out of it. And we've seen crazy things. I mean, me and you were at the Vikings game years ago. We've seen crazy things happen. We were down 20-0 earlier this year to the Browns, and we won the game, for goodness sake. So, but what was that? It was just a combination of going back to what we were doing bad. It's like, where do we start on this one? Because everything was just – we weren't doing things right. I mean, where do we start, dude? Because there's a lot to break down here.
There is. So let's just start from the very beginning. I want to say that I was hopeful at the beginning of this game because the defense went out there and frustrated Brady. I mean, he was throwing his helmet around. A lot of his receivers weren't catching the ball. So I was like, holy crap, the Ravens got to take advantage of this. They really do. And then Devin Hester messes up. The ball gets on the one-yard line, and then the Patriots are able to come out and get a safety. And I think the game was over at that point because that took the wind out of the sails for the Ravens. Like, nobody really was doing anything after that. But, I mean, that's just talking to them as a whole. Let me just talk about Joe Flacco throughout this entire game. Obviously, he's going to be the guy we're going to talk about. He's the quarterback, big shining light on him. I'll flat out say it. That guy was scared last night. 100%, he was terrified. He was throwing these little short 2-yard passes the entire night. I could have told you it was coming. But if you look at the Patriots defense, what they were given to him was that they were blitzing 100% of the time, and then a couple guys would drop back and not blitz them. That threw Joe Flacco off the entire time. He has no faith in his receivers to catch the ball. He has no faith in his offensive line, at least for this game, to protect him. He's worried about getting hit. You could see it in his eyes. That dude was scared of getting hit last night.
He was. It was going back to the same old Joe. He didn't look sharp and crisp as he did a week ago. Not at all. Throwing off his back foot. I mean, he did some things well. I mean, the two touchdown passes he threw were great. I mean, granted, one was a flare out to the right to wide open running back, but the one he threw in the Waller, which was awesome. I mean, he drilled it in there. He stepped into me, please. Granted, he didn't throw that bad of a ball all night, but you're right, but it was the pocket awareness wasn't there. There was a time where I did see him drop back, and he was already, like, scrambling around before anybody touched him. Like, yeah. He was, like, it's almost like he felt the pressure, and it wasn't there yet. And it kind of throws everything off. It's a timing. Everything in offense is timed. Your receivers have a lot amount of time, and he's throwing the ball too long. And even Peter King of Sports Illustrated, he tweeted out, you have to throw it there. He's like, throw it. And he just tweeted to us, throw it. I'm like, you got to. You're holding the ball too long, and he took that sack. It was down there in the red zone. He took that sack down there, and I think it was on the 30-yard line. Or put him, you know, out and got the field goal instead. You know what they're going to come. Any NFL team is going to blitz on third down, especially this team. And you got to know they're coming. You need to call a 2-second play or slant and get it out there. Oh, I know the other guy's coming. It's a chess match. And apparently they pretty much just wanted to move their king out there to get checkmate because it was kind of like, okay, we don't want to – everything they did was just – they took away from what they did a week ago. There's no improvement. And I wanted to ask you this, man, because I want to bring this up. What about consistency? And I want to touch on that. We already know the Browns are winless, okay? Let's call it what it is. When you're winless in the NFL this late in the season – would you agree or disagree that you have to be consistently bad, right?
Yeah, get that number one draft pick at this point.
Well, that too. I mean, they're consistent with being in the top 5 picks. That's about it. But the reason why I want to go there is the correlation from what this team does week to week is. This is why it's frustrating with this team. I told my best friend today, I said, I would be more – and again, don't get me wrong. I never would throw in a towel, and I'm a fan till I die always. I don't care if this team ends up 0-14 next year and we don't get the first win till week 15. I'm still going to love them. But here's the problem I have is it is very frustrating watching this team when they do so well one week and then the other week it's like they forget how to play football or forget how to call plays. It's the same team. It's not like we cut players. It's not like players got hurt or were healthy still. It's just like – I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to search it. But going back to Cleveland correlation, you might ask me, dude, why are we talking about Cleveland Browns versus Baltimore Ravens? Here's why I want to bring up consistency. The Browns have to play a certain level to be consistently bad to not win an NFL game this late in the year. The Ravens, 7-6, hovering around 500, the one game above. So you figure you're playing 500 football. So you're basically saying you win one week and you lose one week. You're trading off. Yeah, granted, there are streaks. Like, we've lost 4 in a row, we've won 2 in a row, we won 3 in a row, we go on streaks. But if you look at it, we could easily go 1 win, 1 loss, 1 win, and just keep trading. We did that 1 year. Technically, I think it was when we went 9-7, we kind of did that. It was we would win a couple, then lose one, win one, lose one. It was just back and forth. The Ravens played so well, and you almost want them to build off that momentum. Okay, just X execute the game plan. Yes, I've always said, Brandon, that game plans are different on each team, and you have to cater and let the game come to you and cater your game plan to what happens and then get conformed to your opponent. But the execution, they look lackadaisical. There's no urgency, especially at that last drive.
Yeah.
7 minutes to go, and they took the whole time, wasted the timeout, getting up to the line. I'm, like, beating my hand on the bar so hard, I thought I hurt my wrist. I was, like, running. I was just like, what are you guys doing? Like, what's going on? It's like you almost want to light the stadium on fire or light the field on fire. Be like, hey, guys, there's a fire coming. Let's go. Like, you almost want to do something drastic. Like, I don't know what's going to take. And is it – and I guess it's just tough because – us as fans, and we get passionate about it, and who knows, you know, maybe they're multimillionaires and they're getting their paychecks no matter how good they play or how bad they play. I don't know, but they do so well 1 week, and then we abandon the run yet again, and Joe has no urgency. And I'm not putting the blame on Joe. It's easy to do that number five because he's the quarterback, he's the face of the offense, he runs everything. But this is a team effort. The defense let up plays, which doesn't happen. The Patriots had like 4 or 5 plays over 25 yards, I think. So, obviously, the big touchdown, that doesn't happen. Big plays are very rarely against our defense. They did shut down the run mainly. But when it mattered for down efficiency, again, what hurt us in the Cowboys loss was there. You know, we start the game up 3 and out on defense. I'm like, all right. But what happens is the whole Devin Hester thing. We do stupid things at stupid times. It's – so what? And obviously, we already know Hester's cut. We'll definitely get that, and that's why, because he's been doing this all year. And I even tweeted, "I wish I could fly and go punch him in the face," because I'm like, "What is he doing? He always lets the ball go. It's like he just catch the ball. Go out there and catch fair catch if you don't run it." But obviously, and I don't know what we're thinking running the ball on the 1 yard line. That play right there set the tone for the rest of the game. It was just like, really, I just knew right then play there when we were down 2-0. I'm like, I wasn't going to tweet it then. I don't want to be negative Nancy already, but I literally was just like, I said under my breath, this game's already over. Because you can just tell, it's momentum. If the game starts like that, you know, it's going to end like that. Remember the Broncos Super Bowl against the Seahawks?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how they started and they had that weird safety like that?
Yep.
And they never recovered and they got trounced, didn't they?
Absolutely they did.
Yes, they did. It's the same way. How you start is how you're going to finish. The Ravens started hot. They got out to a hot start against the Dolphins, and they stayed that way. Ravens didn't. They had behind the 8 ball last night, and they stayed there. And they had to play catch-up. And no wonder we abandoned a run, because when you have to play catch-up, that's why Mike was throwing it 6 times. Because it's, oh, we're down a score and a half. We're down 2 scores. We're down 8 points. We need to make it up. And, yes, you gain more traction by throwing the ball versus running, but there has to be a balance, especially when you're only down 1 score. You know, let your defense go to work, be methodical, make the field position battle. But when we're deep in our end zone and get freaking out and punt the ball and they get the ball in midfield, it's just, dude, something's got to give. But what I want to bring up and really hone in on my point is the Browns play consistently bad to be that bad to have a 0-something record. The Ravens, I would be more acceptable if they played sound football like they did, but – you know, yeah, there was fire, there was urgency, but, hey, they got beat by the better team. But it just seems like, yeah, we're getting beat, but I feel like we're beating ourselves in these losses, man, because all 6 of these losses, we've been in these games. The Cowboys game, if we – maybe the exception of the Cowboys game, maybe. I don't know. I have to break those highlights down, but I felt like we could have won that game, maybe not. We lost by 10. But I feel like with these losses, it's – we do 1 or 2 things well. It's like last year. It's repeating history. We get the wins if we do a little bit things differently in the games, and it's not getting it done, man. And now we made it harder on the team because they made it harder on themselves now, Brandon. Because now instead of being back in the driver's seat in AFC North and having that 8-5 record, now we have to win out just to win a division, get home playoff game. So now you basically just made the playoffs start now. The clock's ticking. The playoffs start now. You thought last night was a playoff game and a must-win. You wouldn't lose any of these games, and we're not in the playoffs. We're barely even hanging on right now. So at 7-6, as crazy as that sounds, and we're stalking playoffs 3 weeks left. But now this team just made it that much harder, man.
Yeah, they did. And tell you the truth, I mean, to win out the rest of the season, I don't know if the Ravens can do that. I'm going to be completely honest. If it's the Ravens team that we saw against the Patriots, no, they can't win the rest of these games. It's a good thing we have Breshad Perriman, because how inconsistent he is, that's just this team. He fits in perfectly because he can have an
inconsistent... Where was he last night?
He dropped a pass that was right in his hands, and
but
then
we're not perfect. That's going to happen. I mean, sure. Yeah, these guys get paid to catch, but like Wallace had a couple drops, which was unacceptable. But what happened to the things that went on display? How many times I got to say what happened with Steve Smith last night, man? He made plays. He was making people miss, trying to stiff arm people, get off the field. What did I say a couple shows ago? Put the ball in your playmaker's hands. You know, I said the whole Kobe Bryant, LeBron thing and all that. Like, put the ball in your playmaker's hands and let them make plays. That's what they get paid to do. Don't be throwing one-yard check downs to Kyle Juszczyk and Kenneth Dixon. I mean, that's not going to get the job done, man. It's just you got to take what the defense gives you. Yeah, and a lot of people were saying on social media that the Patriots did well of taking the Ravens' first read. But I'm going to call BS on that, because there was a play where literally it looked like a design dump off, because Flacco literally got it and looked right at the line of scrimmage and threw it off to like Juszczyk or somebody. And I'm like, what is this, dude?
Yeah.
But Perryman's speed wasn't on display. And then when he threw it down the field, he made that great play on the sideline that caught the ball. And I'm like, I'm screaming at the TV, finally, there it is. You get it down the field. But then it's like they go away from what should happen and what works. Football is north and south. They do like, they throw like a screen pass out in the flat, trying to see if we can get yards after catch. We're throwing it short of the sticks again. It's just like now we're back to the same old mumbo jumbo that we've been doing all year. It's like, you know, do with what works. If not, do what other successful teams done. You know, why are the Patriots winning the games? Why do the Patriots have 11 wins? Because they do things correctly. They're coached better. We got out coached. We got out lead. Let's just put it what it is. And it's got to stop. If not, they were going to talk off season real quick. And Eagles come in and beat us next week, and we're going to go, oh, well, why did that happen? Well, because we didn't do things that should happen, man. It's just – it's got to stop. There's no urgency on this team. No fire. And I don't know if you know this, but – and I know Brady's tantrum on the sidelines, and I kind of tweeted about, like, there's passion that – I'm not saying that Flacco should have that kind of passion where Brady – yeah, people are saying he threw a tantrum. He could have, could not, but it ain't different than me slamming my fist on the bar and screaming at TV. That's my passion. I'm passionate when I watch the game, so Brady's passionate during his game. But see, when we scored that second touchdown after the turnover again, you know, Flacco did his fist bump, and he hit one of his players in the helmet and hugged him. He's got his own set of passion. But what I mean by urgency on the field is there was no umph. There was no, like you saw. It was like, all right, let's take off 40. And I don't know if you remember this. I'm going to put – and I put my notes here. I took notes during the game. Remember the end of the first quarter? I don't know if you've seen this, but the Ravens were lined up like 20 seconds to go. And the play clock obviously would expire before the game clocks – or the game clock would expire for the play clock. So it would end it then. Instead of getting another play in, they let the clock expire. It's little things like that. Like, why don't you go up, line up, quick cut on call, play before the end of the half? Why not, man? Why not?
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand what's going through their heads either. I mean, this team is inconsistent. The coaching is inconsistent. Nothing makes any sense. Who were you? I mean, I don't want to put specific people on to blame here, but for the way that the offense played last night, those short passes for every single friggin' play, is that on Joe or is that on Marty Morningweg? Because if this is Marty's type of play, I don't know if he's going to last after this season. I think we might be getting another offensive coordinator come next season.
Well, I think so, too. No, I think it starts at coaching. It's developmental because it's got to be something, because it might be the system. Because we are fired, Trestman, and it's the same old crap we're talking weeks later. We're not running the ball. We're inconsistent offense. We do it one week, but then don't do it another week. It's the same things that we're talking about. It seems like you could pick any one of our shows after a loss and we're talking about the same things. I guarantee it. I would almost want to put it out there to bet our listeners, hey, go pull up after the Cowboys game. Go pull up after the Giants game. Let's see how our conversations were. It's the same thing we're talking about. It's almost like I should just bring up the shows and take notes and go, yep, check. We didn't run the ball. We threw it too much. Check. No, we weren't urgent, check. It's just the same things, man. I really don't know. I can't pinpoint. And I don't know if you're flat out asking me, bro, what's wrong with the team. I really – that's the toughest question on the face of this earth right now.
Well,
I'd rather go do an algebra problem at this point, dude.
Did you see what Bernard Pollard tweeted last night during the game? So I'm gonna read this tweet because I found this rather interesting. So Bernard Pollard's a part of the Super Bowl team with the Ravens, was let go. Pretty much he was fired after the Super Bowl run. Him and Harbaugh did not get along. But this is what he said. I'm sorry, but this team will never be the same. They broke up something special way too early. Now he's got a coach, and that's not possible. So he's blaming John Harbaugh for that. When it's just funny that he's saying that, but you sent me a video over the weekend from Dominique Foxworth saying how great of a coach Harbaugh is because he knows he's not the smartest guy out there. It's very interesting to see these two takes on John Harbaugh because wins and losses, yes, you can blame specific players, but when it comes down to it, it comes down to pretty much two people, the quarterback and the coach.
Very powerful statements from both individuals. Both individuals played in this system. They played on the playoff runs. Obviously, Pollard got the Super Bowl ring, and he was very instrumental in that. He was the one, obviously, we know that threw the ball loose against Stephen Ridley and knocked him out to get the ball back against Patriots. I've always been a Pollard fan. It's very, very interesting these statements are. Now he's got a coach. It puts the players in them. That could be a shot as of because – he didn't really have to coach because Ray was there. The leadership was there.
Right.
Now the shoulder's on him, and we've been 500 since the Super Bowl, since Reed and Ray left. Ray was kind of like the unsung coach kind of deal. It was kind of like, you know, if he needed to speak to the team, he had the floor. He was that magnetic. We know what Ray brought. I can go on and on about that. Very interesting comment because how many times do we see – clock management and Harbaugh's decision making, going for it, not taking the points. What was that? That was him. I don't. Obviously, he has a label, head coach. There's coordinators. He always said he lets his coordinators, you know, do the game plan. He doesn't meddle, but he has says on what should happen and what happened. Like the calls to go for it is his calls. But I felt like there's some miscommunication because speaking of that. There was a point on the game where I think it – and we did convert. It was a 4th-and-2, and I think the offense was like kind of like walking on the field, and they had the camera on Harbaugh during the game. And he goes, what are you doing? And he kept waving his hand out there. He goes, we're going for it. I can read his lips. So I think there's miscommunication there that his team expected that didn't weren't, and he was like, no, we are. So I think there he just needs to get a grasp on the team. You know, I'm not putting the – crack open and they're saying, well, Josh, has Harbaugh lost the team? Is that what you're saying? No. He's a great ball coach. And how many – weren't we sitting next to a Jets fan at the Jets game saying, like, if he was fired tomorrow, Jets would hire him? You know, he'd be hired. It's not like Devin Hester got let go and he'd be unemployed for forever. You know, John Harbaugh's a coach. And I always liked him. You know, I have nothing bad things to say about him. I think he's one of the great sires in our franchise. But there has to be a sense of accountability out there, and I feel like we've lost the identity. We don't know who we are still, and we're 7-6. It's are we an inconsistent team who plays well one week and plays? I don't know. But Crush Boy, obviously, this is his nickname, Bernard Pollard, had some big statement, big words there in that statement. It's a bold statement coming from a former player, and I mean, how? But see, here's the thing. How vocal have players been? Wasn't Cleach Osmeli kind of ill-willed towards the Ravens when he left and went to Oakland and said some things too?
Mm-hmm.
So how often have we heard that? But it's a mixed bag because we hear players like Dominique Foxworth, who has high praise for the team organization. Obviously, we know, you know, Ray does, Reed does. So, and they're not going to say anything. I haven't heard Nada say anything bad since he's been in Detroit. Jarrett, you know, these Ravens come here. Jarrett Johnson's still part of the organization, and he played out in San Diego. He's on 9-day Rocks radio show once a week, and he retired as a Raven. We have Femi Adesio always on the radio shows locally. So, I mean, you get one or two, but again, Pollard was a free agent that was instrumental with the championship. But that's what I like to say. It's not like these homegrown guys where we drafted them and groomed them and they're saying these things or they've been tenured Ravens. It's pretty much guys who are free agents coming in and go, oh, yeah, well, that could be his opinion. But seeing how we have Foxworth's opinion and then we have Pollard's opinion, two different statements from two different players contradicting, it's really hard to say because if one's saying this, one's saying that, but it's just kind of funny how he said now he's got the coach in bold letters because we see the correlations this year about, you know, inconsistencies in that flow and what does he have a handle, what doesn't he have a handle on. But something's got to change. I'm not saying it should be the head coach, but if we miss the playoffs 3 out of 4 years this year, there's going to be drastic changes on this team, man. Next year's going to be different. It's going to be a different team headed to Greener Pastures next year, bro.
Yeah, so let's talk about Devin Hester. I mean, we kind of already gave our thoughts and everything on him. Not a good season for him. He's hasn't been somebody who's been, again, consistent, and also has been somebody you can't really count on, so the Ravens let him go. He is no longer a part of the Ravens, and it looks like, even though it's not official as we record this, but Michael Capinero will probably be getting that spot now, which I find very interesting because the reason Devin Hester came in is because Michael Capinero lost that job because he wasn't great in preseason. I mean, originally it was going to be Keenan Reynolds, and then he wasn't developing well, so they brought in Michael Capinero, and then he dropped a pass in a preseason game, and then they brought in Hester. So what do the Ravens do at this point? They'll bring in Capinero to fill in a spot on the roster, but can you really count on him as well?
You have to. Do I want to count on him? It's really hard to say. I liked him since he was here, but I really don't know what he's got to bring. It's been a while since I've seen him play, but anything's better right now than what we had. Let's put it that way. This is an upgrade. It might not be a very good one, or you might think that it's not a good upgrade, but I disagree with, you know, if anybody wants to agree or disagree there, anything was better than what we had, because if I've seen anything on social media yesterday, I think we're all in agreement. We covered the urgency wasn't there. We covered the inconsistent play. We covered people didn't do their jobs correctly, dropping balls and whatnot, whatever. But one thing we can agree on still is following the trends here is how many times I've heard Hester's name come up in some bad tweet, and I was there too. I was like, dude, you got to stop. Like it's almost like every other kickoff or punt, I was just closing my eyes, like, please don't let something bad happen. Like, it just was nerve-wracking. Because whether he let the ball go, whether it was a fair catch, what he should have returned it. And then it was kind of funny. Then he returns it to the third. And this is another key play that probably hurt us here too. He returns it like 20 yards up the field, but then we get a holding call and puts us back on the 10-yard line. It's like, really? He's just at that point, you're like – and I brought up to some of our fans on our call Facebook page, and I've been going back and forth a bit, was like, maybe we cannot return him. Punts, I can see if you have the clear space, but kickoff. If he's returning it, and then we get a block in the back or hold, which is pretty much a 75% for disaster in a longer field, take the 25% gain out of a spark. Something's got to happen. So I think this is a welcome change, a good change. And obviously it shows the rate up top, or Hallbrawl saying, yeah, listen, this is enough. We have to win out. Inconsistently bad play, it's going to lead to your job. And let's just keep it up. But I think the Campanera move will be all right for us as long as he's healthy. It's another thing is he wasn't healthy. So let's see what he's got to bring, man.
All right. So I think we've pretty much covered everything.
You sound exhausted. You're like, oh.
I was just so angry at that team last night because I'm like, this should have been a 3-point. Oh, well, I mean, we got to talk about this because we would be terrible podcasters if we didn't. Let's talk about Justin Tucker. My God.
Oh, yeah, it gets lost in a shuffle. How can we not?
Yeah.
The statistical quote-unquote miss that wasn't.
That was
something.
Let me just tell you, first off, I'm so happy I don't have to listen to the ESPN commentators every single week. They are God awful. They flip-flop so much. You know, they badmouth the Ravens until like one play happens and they're like, hey, the Ravens might actually come back and do this. They jinxed the crap out of Justin Tucker.
Yep. Yeah, they put up the graphic that he said the only perfect kicker in the NFL, and then what happened?
And they brought it up and they talked about it. It was literally like I was watching wrestling and I could see what was going to happen next. I mean, it was like the commentators were giving away the ending. And you got to give it to the Patriots. special teams. That was an amazing play. That was very athletic. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it, but man, you got to feel for Tucker. That kick would have tied him, I believe, with Matt Stover for all-time Ravens record of how many connected kicks, that completed kicks that he was able to get. Really sucks for him, but man, that also set the tone for the game. I mean, the Ravens just where we have, oh no, we're good. We got Justin Tucker. He's money. He's the best in the world. He's the CM Punk of this team. But man, even he gets taken down a peg. Honestly, the Patriots just dominated in every way they could. It was the Ravens had no stars that night.
Nope. It's like almost like the whole thing of what Garone did. But no, Jeff Hansen was up for that play. And I heard chatter today. I'm going to squash this right now on this podcast. I heard chatter today comment on the airwaves. Well, shouldn't the league look into that and make it illegal? Why? Because it didn't go in our favor? The leverage play. Because even some of the fans I was watching the game with, they asked me, they were like, shouldn't that be illegal? He can't do that. And I said, no, it's legal if he pushed off or launched himself off another player. You can't do it. It's called leverage. He actually leapfrogged them and hurdled everybody and basically blocked it on his own, which was a great play. I almost want to give him a round of applause. That was great. Great football play. It just sucks to happen against us at that point in juncture. Who knows? You know, the slightest little touch on a player, that's a 5-yard penalty, and we're first and 10 easily. Or if he doesn't block it, it's 3 points. Who knows? He gets it. That could convert another 3 or 7. We get both. See, we got no points out of it, and that's what the sucky part was. We lose by 7. Who knows what could happen on that drive? That took away points off the board for us. It was an unfortunate ending to it, because in the statistical, it shows he's got 28 of 29. He has a miss, but he really didn't miss. He actually had the field goal blocked. It's a block. So there's an asterisk there for his miss. It wasn't even an attempt, because he didn't even get to kick it. He got blocked. So sucks for him, but see, in our minds, and in reality, obviously, it goes into the statistical books in history as it's not perfect, but we could technically make the argument he still is, because it didn't miss the uprights. It didn't even lose in the air. It didn't even leave the ground. He got blocked. So technically, he's still perfect in my mind. So I was just putting it there. So, obviously, you know, what's done is done, but that just sucks, man. But it just shows you, even the Patriots themselves, they went 18-0 and couldn't close the deal. Only one team in the NFL history has been perfect, and that's the Dolphins, 72. So in this league, I guess perfection isn't really that attainable anymore, man. It just shows you how hard it is, too. But he had a great streak going, and he's still money. He's still going to kick his 50-yarders and still get it for us.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So I think we can put to bed this Patriots game. Thank the Lord. Don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's go on to happier things. Let's talk about something that we're excited about.
Bring our special guest, Joey.
That's right.
Hey, Joey, where are we going?
We're going. We're going to watch a game.
In London!
In London? God, I love that. But I'm going to have to watch that. I'm going to watch that episode later.
There you go. It's on Netflix. You can watch that. So
I have them on DVD. I'll pull it right out of the box.
Perfect.
I have the series.
So
I might put my French, British hat on.
London, and, baby.
Oh, I can't wait, man. This was how crazy were we just speculating this weeks ago? And getting the excitement from our UK fans out there, and then now it's a reality, man.
That's right. It is
a reality. It's great.
The rumor started last week that the Ravens potentially could be going over to London for a game. It is now official. It is going to be either week 3 or 4, last week of September, first week of October, but the Ravens will be going to London to go up against Jacksonville. I am super excited for that. I think that's such a great, we know personally, we've had so many people from over in Europe and the UK reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook and say they want the Ravens to play in Wembley Stadium. Not many.
Don't we have a Denmark? Don't we have a Denmark fan that reach out to you?
A fan in Denmark said, he was excited about the Ravens coming to the UK and playing in Wembley Stadium. I think, this is going to be a huge sellout crowd. I don't think they understand how big of a fan base.
90,000.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they realize how big of a fan base the Ravens have over in Europe. This is a huge deal. I can't wait.
Denmark's not that far, by the way.
No, not at all.
Right across the sea up there. Hey, there you go. There you go, man. We got it all covered.
So do you have your passport ready? Are you looking up hotels now? What is your plan? Because I got a feeling like I'm really hopeful. I really, really want to go. I want to get everything in order, but I feel as if like it's not even a question for you.
Everything's got to align. I mean, first off, this is – I mean, obviously, we have almost a whole year to save for it across the pond to go. But like we talked earlier today, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Yeah, the Ravens are one of eight teams to never play there until next year. But who knows if they get invited back. They probably will, same cycle. But they only play 2 to 4 games in London every year, so – it's like when I didn't go to Dallas this year. I picked up Dallas because that was every bit of $2,200. And I'm like, well, they'll be there in 8 years next. But see, here's another thing. The Ravens also go to Lambeau Field next year, another hallowed ground in sports history here in the U.S. So it's like, do I want to put all my chips in and go to London, which is no question. It's London. You know, I can always go to a Packers game if the Ravens don't play. I can go to any Packers game if I want to. If I choose to, don't even have to be my team playing, but it's just like, I'm like, oh, cause then the Ravens won't play in Lambeau for another 8 years. But how often do they go to London? Like when we were talking about this, this is huge. Didn't I say that this might be a thing coming to pass? Great for international exposure. I'm sure. And even everybody was starting to text and tweet me. They're like, hey, did you already book your flights to London yet? Cause they knew they were like, there's a road trip for you. I'm like, that might take the place of like road trips for years to come because of the financial capacity, man. But I'm making everything work. I actually don't have a passport, believe it or not, so I have to get one, if that's crazy enough. I've never been out of the States myself. I would love it. And just how many times have we had our podcasters come to Baltimore and I met up with them? I've had pictures with them. I've had some meet me in the stadium. We had our fans coming from Ohio. I mean, it's awesome. We had John coming all the way from Arizona, and I met with him in New York to go to the Giants game. I mean, how crazy would it be to just keep that going and go across the pond and get to see our UK fans, man, and hang out with them and enjoy tailgates and take the purple party and show them how we do it. That would be unprecedented. That's why I'm like, if the stars can align, I'm going to make it in my power to make it happen, man. I mean, I don't know if we can try to make it work together, but I'm really looking at this trip, bro.
I'm looking forward to this. I think what we should do is we should try to figure out a way to do this. Help, maybe some of our UK fans can help us out, and maybe we can do a live podcast from a pub over in the UK before the game. That's what I think we
ought
to do.
How cool would that be?
That
like,
would
seriously,
be.
Just think about it. Just think about it. Not only that, but just the whole experience, like London. Like London, it's just all you got to say. One word, London. That's I can't. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
And I know. I think it's what is Twickenham. They're playing. They got actually two stadiums, which I actually didn't know till this year. The Ravens are playing at Wembley, and the other team is going to be played in Twickenham a little bit down the road. There, actually, while we have it up, I actually have the London map up, so I'm actually looking at it right now. It's pretty cool. But I don't know if you saw this, Jason put on our Facebook page, did you see the Ravens story about the Ravens and the Guardians and all that?
No.
Read it. Oh, my God, read it. It's amazing. They were saying how the Ravens are the true Guardians of the London Tower and all that. You have to read it.
All right, I'll definitely get on that.
It's right on our Facebook page. It's like a whole long article of like history and all that, and I was like, it has to tie into Ravens. I literally got chills reading it. I'm like, it's almost like reading like Edgar Allan Poe's Tale of the Raven and like getting so into it, and I'm like, this is awesome. So it's like, how fitting will it be? But and I also wanted to set the record straight, as we know, because a fan asked me on the Facebook page, he's like, Jack, I think it was Jason, he actually asked me, he was pretty upset because he's like, I don't like his taking away the home games. I said, well, wait a second. This doesn't take away a home game because the Ravens are contracted to play all 8 home games at M&T Bank. It's in their contract with, obviously, the organization and the stadium authority. It's an away game. It's a home game for the Jacksonville Jaguars because they're contracted to play one of their home games through the year 2020. Who knows if that would expand. but it's an away game because the Ravens are slated to play Jacksonville away again like we did this year. But this year, instead of going down to Jacksonville, Florida, it's going to be across the pond, bro.
Wild. Just wild. I'm so excited for the Ravens. This is something that...
It almost like made me really forget about this loss. Like, as soon as I saw that this morning, I was all smiling, and I'm looking up, like passport and how to get... I was all over it this morning. I'm like, it just made me, like, what loss? Like, I didn't even care about the loss anymore. I was like, we're going to London next year. Who cares?
That's
like,
right.
And I've heard some fans react. Some people actually hate it. They're like, oh, my God, it sucks, And I'm like, why does it suck? And it's like, well, yeah, obviously, if they're trying to go, it's expensive. And then they're saying over here because of we have to wake up early. And I'm like, wait, a different waking up early to go to a tailgate. The game will be at 9:30 a.m. here Eastern time. So worst case scenario, if we don't get to go and stuff doesn't line up to where we can't go, we're gonna have a purple party. And because we have a 9 a.m. football game to get to watch. So. But then, hey, we got our whole Sunday ahead of us that day because the game will be over. But it's going to be different. You know, it's going to be different being over there. And it's almost like a different experience because you see fans from all over the world, different jerseys represented. So I think it's just great flavor for the NFL. Dude, I'm excited for this one, man. London Ravens next year. And, hey, my birthday is October 5th, so they get to play on October 1st. I'm going to put all my chips in. I said, this is where I want to go for my birthday. And I didn't go to Vegas for my 30th birthday like I wanted to, so maybe I'll get to, you know, relive my 30th birthday 1 year later and actually get to go do a big trip.
There you go. Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens to London, and I don't know if they're going to know how a Balmer Hun really, really acts, but, man, I don't know if they can handle it, but we shall see. I know we'll bring some Old Bay over for all the people we're going to meet and hand those out, so...
Oh, that'll be great to get. Yeah, man, we have to bring up our Old Bay, and this is gonna be great for us. And whatever Ravens are on the roster, and who's left, and who comes in new. But I really can't wait to see how this plays out for us. And week 3 or 4, it's gonna be great. So now we already know it's there. So we already have the site of one of our away games. This is gonna be awesome, man. And I really can't wait. So if again, I know you put the word out there, but. I can't wait to hear what our UK fans have to say. I know I'm tweeting actively and Facebooking actively with a few. They're excited. I can sense it in their messages. They're ecstatic that their football team, they've been rooting hard over here. I mean, we have it, man. It's right here in front of us next year, months from now, getting through the rest of this year and getting on to next year. Man, it's going to be international series first for the Ravens, and I know Bishotti's always been vocal. He wanted the team to get out there. He's been out there himself. He said it's awesome. I really would love to, you know, do the tour package, man. I want to see the bridge and the tower, and who knows, maybe I'll run into James Bond, right?
You never know.
Maybe you're recruiting for 007 status. I'm ready. License to kill, bro. License to kill.
That's but, right.
I love it, man. But, yeah, man, it's going to be a trip for the ages. Let's see if we can get the call on the road out there.
All right. All right, Josh. I think this is it. But, Josh, have we covered everything?
Oh, we covered, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to Facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. You can check out game day previews we do on Facebook Live. You can check out all kinds of cool news, information, photos, videos, whatever we feel like posting. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should. Too. Don't forget, leave us an iTunes review, send us a screen grab of your review, and email us brandocashpods@gmail.com. In return, we will send you the full length version of our intro song. We're doing that just for the holiday season, so you got about half a month left. But I think that's pretty much it for the call for this episode. We will be back for a Purple Friday preview when we talk Ravens and Eagles. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. And, guys, it's just been a rough road. This team has been through some adversity. The game sucked last night. Let's just put it plain and simple. Let's just get over it. Harbaugh already said they moved on to the Eagles. I don't blame them. The time is now. It's playoffs, 3 weeks. Playoffs start this Sunday at 1 o'clock at M&T Bank Stadium. Our home finale, want Ravens Nation to be strong. It's going to be a war. We got to get it going, man, because this is it. We win or go home, literally, because we'll be out of the mix and be sitting again watching football in January and the other teams going, man, if we only won one or two more games and we turned it around, we could have been there. We could have been there at a home playoff game in January and get it on. He is right here, guys. You just got to stay steadfast. We already know the goal here. Got to take it to them. Take it to the Eagles on Sunday. And we have a Christmas Day matchup that's going to be one for the ages. It's going to be intense. Got to get through the Patriots. We couldn't get through the Patriots. We got to get on to the Eagles. Guys, I know it's frustrating. You got to get out. It's just how Ravens do, man. It's ugly at times. It's good at times. But best and the worst. But we're right there. 7-6. Let's take advantage. Lick our wounds and take advantage of what happened from here on out and fix it. We won just one game playoff in the season. Right now, home finale's on the horizon. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.